gonna eat you. Sup, girl?
Welcome to Coming Off the Reels.
Oh, we're going.
Hey, we're on.
My name is Drew Martin.
I'm Sean McClain.
And I'm Roy King.
And this show is going to be about a couple of Netflix originals. So if you subscribe to Netflix, or if you have friends who have given you their login, which is probably most of you, you can watch these movies right now, streaming. So
On your phone. Yeah. Pull them up.
Yeah.
Wait till after the show, though, to watch it. But then, yeah, definitely.
Oh, but sure. Definitely watch it on your phone, because that's how movies were meant to be enjoyed. Yeah. On a 5-inch screen.
Do you guys remember when Netflix like came out with their app where you could stream movies on your phone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, I just was blown away. I was like, we're in the future. It's happening.
It's now.
The future's happening now.
So the two movies we're going to be talking about are The Cloverfield Paradox, it's the third in the Cloverfield series, and the surprise Super Bowl ad where they're like, hey, this movie's coming out right after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
Like, that they can keep that a secret for so long.
Yeah.
Same with, like, with Cloverfield Lane. They were just like, all of a sudden, hey, we made a Cloverfield movie.
Well, but that was kind of one of those weird things where I'm sure it was, we're making a movie, and then at the very last second, they're like, Cloverfield.
Yeah, this is a Cloverfield movie now.
The other movie we'll be discussing is the romantic comedy When We First Met. So,
Which just came out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's jump right in. Cloverfield Paradox, like I said, it's the third installment in the Cloverfield franchise, and they are connected, but only loosely connected.
Yeah.
So in this movie, there is a, let's say, energy crisis on the planet, and a team goes up into space with some sort of like Large Hadron Collider, and they're doing experiments to try and do something sciency. That will provide unlimited energy.
If I hit these buttons, do this.
Unlimited energy for Earth. In their experiments, like, they keep failing. They finally succeed, but in doing so, maybe they cross over into an alternate reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, another version of it. And they find this out because there's, like, knocking in behind one of the panels. And they open it up, and it's a crew member. From the other ship, like the ship in the other
reality. Like a person we've never seen before,
right?
Yeah,
but she knows everybody.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, she just somehow is in the ship. Like, parts of the ship are going through her body,
she's got, like, wires and stuff like that coming out of her.
That was scary. Like, I was like, I jumped.
Yes, yeah,
I jumped and was grossed out.
And so then we're dealing with the people who are now in a different reality, and flashing back to the original reality to one of the crew members' husband, and him trying to, he's a doctor or a nurse, and he's trying to get to a hospital. So we kind of see what is going on Earth, which is chaos after this Hadron Collider works, and what's going on in the ship in a different
reality. Also, like, the plot of the first Cloverfield movie is happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, are we to believe that the experiment they were doing,
this is a prequel of sorts?
Yes, it's what that's what was my understanding.
Yeah, I kind of took that too, which that's kind of interesting that they shoehorned that in.
Yeah
Kind of.
So
it's the same it's the same formula that 10 Cloverfield Lane used.
Yeah,
it's like, you get, like you said, name, little monster, Cloverfield.
I like a little bit of the connective tissue, and I don't know, because of the way they're doing it, it all feels kind of Twilight Zone-y, Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, very episodic, but still in a shared universe.
Mm-hmm.
So the reviews for this were terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
Sean, you in particular hated this movie.
Oh, you did?
I didn't care for it, no. It was, I think it was only like an hour and a half, maybe an hour and a half and some change, and I just felt bored by it the entire time. There were some, like, the alternate reality stuff, or like alternate universe, I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting to a point, but I don't know, it just didn't grab my attention at all. I found myself waning and looking at my watch and being like, how much more do I have to watch of this?
Oh, I really kind of liked it, though.
Yeah, me too.
I thought all the production value was very cool.
Oh, I'm not saying like there was anything wrong.
I thought the cast was really good. I thought the alternate timeline stuff I kind of didn't see coming, so I thought that was, like you were saying, I thought that was really interesting too.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
how they all slowly started turning on each other.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything as far as production value goes. It just, the story to me was just there wasn't enough meat to it, for me at least. I just didn't, I don't know, it just didn't grab me. It didn't appeal to me. So,
and I think for me, one thing I actually kind of liked was right now everything being kind of Marvel universe-ish, where everything's like big and constant explosion, like this I felt was a little more intimate science fiction. And I get, like, I do get when people are like, I didn't really care for it, but it's the kind of science fiction that I like, which is things start off kind of normal and just progress into batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. I mean,
like one part when they realize there's like some kind of weird things going on with the oddness of this moving between realities mm-hmm. and dimensions, and one guy loses his arm in a wall.
Yeah.
Like the wall kind of like sucks yeah. it in and takes his arm off, and it like severs it clean. Like he like isn't in pain by it mm-hmm. or anything
yeah.
like that, but his arm's just gone.
Yeah.
And then they find his arm, and the arm is still very much sentient. And it was like, oh, well, this is straight camp right here.
Yeah, like an
and
Evil Dead 2 kind
of And I
kind of yeah.
like it. And it is like leaving messages and stuff
yeah,
like
it's
that.
It's like helping them.
Yeah.
It's up. Whoa, it's so weird. That was so weird.
Yeah.
But
I like it.
I did. I did like yeah. the. You know, what I really liked was the main character and her story, and like her story with her husband.
We share some of that because that's.
So the main character is their communications officer, and I don't know her character name, and I don't know the actress's
Hamilton.
Name off the top of my head. Oh, the character's name was Hamilton.
Yeah.
And you get a sense from the beginning that her and her husband had shared kind of a tragedy because they're talking about moving on and. She has to go away on this trip, and they're like, yeah, we'll survive this, yada, yada, yada. And then you find out that there was an accident, and her children were killed in a freak accident. And then, you know, without giving too much away, she kind of is tempted, you know, to be with them again in this certain situation. And
yeah.
So she's toying with what's real, what's my reality, what can be my reality, and then... Her husband was just going through another thing on Earth while this big alien's attacking, and
yeah.
he's out by himself, and he finds this little girl, and he's trying to like find her parents, and I just thought that was all good stuff there.
Yeah, and I when the husband finds the little girl, and at one point they find like a bomb shelter.
Yeah,
I really was hoping that somehow it was going to be like the Cloverfield Lane.
Oh yeah.
You like
yeah.
there'd
like
be
bunker.
Some kind of evidence
yeah.
of it.
Or like maybe like these were people who were here before the people who were in there with John Goodman last
oh,
time.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
like his first
yeah.
Oh, that would have been good.
So just something, but you know, I was fine with it
mm-hmm.
being what it was.
Like they were the ones that scrape help me
yeah,
into the
right.
hatch
yeah.
door
or
whatever. Or
like yeah, they would have discovered that
yeah.
or something like that.
Ooh, that would have been good.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
But like yeah, the woman that they find, you know, inside of the ship, who is part of the crew in the other one. Like, when these people cross over into this world, the ship from that was existed in that timeline or universe or whatever you want to say, it was destroyed.
Yeah.
So it's crashing down to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can look back at the first Cloverfield where there's, like, wreckage.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what that was.
That's what I thought it was, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, the very last shot, you see, like, a pod or something
yeah.
flying
yeah.
right into the background
right.
of... They're like selfie shot.
Anyway, the woman who was part of the crew, you know, she knows Hamilton, but she knows like the Hamilton from her timeline. And at one point, you know, Hamilton's like trying to figure out how to get the ship back to their regular time. And this woman's like, oh, but, you know, in this reality, like your kids didn't die. Wouldn't you
mm-hmm.
want to go down there and see them? And she has to deal with that internal struggle of knowing that those aren't really her kids, and there's another version of her back on Earth, and
yeah.
you know she can't just assume that spot in life.
Yeah,
though
she can't
she
just
wants
like
to.
Walk into a house and just
right.
be
yeah.
like, "Hey, kids,
right?
I'm your other mom."
And I thought all
yeah.
of that was really interesting.
Uh-huh. But she
and,
still like wants to save them. Like
yes.
it's all very interesting, and I thought that the main actress did a really great job.
Yeah. So
yeah,
For whatever reason, I just feel like I don't know. Maybe it was trying to fit within that time frame, or whatever. But everything just felt rushed. To me,
sure.
I didn't feel like it left enough room to really breathe and let the situation sink in. It was like, oh, we have to do this now. Oh, let's go do this now. We have to do this now. We have to do this now. And it just,
well, they were on a time crunch, Sean.
I understand.
They're all professionals.
That.
It's not like they sent us up into space and we'd be like, okay, what are we doing, guys?
It's like a Keystone Cops scenario.
They were running out of gas.
I was running out of gas about 45 minutes into this movie, I was like, good one. And done.
Good one. You know what I did not like?
What's that?
The worms.
And
all of that.
Which I was surprised.
Sorry, guy.
Yeah, I was surprised, Drew, that you didn't say anything about that.
Worms aren't an issue for me.
Yeah, but they were black and doesn't matter. More like, snake-like. Guy,
that was gross.
It's a weird thing.
Like,
yeah.
I don't have an issue with worms, but well, worms like, in mass, when they explode out of a dude, like, yes, I do have a like, problem with worms.
Found the worms.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
That guy's eye was like all messed up. That was weird.
I thought it was weird, and maybe like all of the twists didn't make sense, but I was just embracing.
No,
the
I'm just saying I didn't like. I just didn't like it because it like grossed me out.
No. But like you know, they lose and find the compass at one point, and that whole thing is just like what?
Yeah. Why?
Okay.
Sure. My armed saved us.
Yes.
That's so stupid.
Yes.
And again, this is a weird one where Paramount still financed this movie, and at some point they're like, yeah, we're not going to be able to put this out or do whatever. So Netflix comes in, and they've apparently been doing this a lot where they'll come in and buy things off the books of other, you know, production companies. And they said, because Netflix doesn't really release their numbers, but they said 5 million people streamed it during that first week. So comparatively, to like a box office or anything, it's a pretty solid hit.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Didn't they pay like a lot of money for it too?
I don't know.
And probably a decent amount.
And I don't know. I'll never understand how they make money against things. Like, if a billion people subscribe to Netflix, no matter what you have, but then, continuing to spend all this money on new material, are you just trying to maintain a status quo? At some point you're going to saturate the market,
maybe.
And when you got to, and their revenue stream is capped because they're not, unless they raise prices.
Right.
That's the only
Which is, and that's maybe the thing. I mean, honestly, I don't know what's the price of Netflix a month right now.
I pay
10, 12.
For 10, HD, 10 to I think 12. I pay about 13, 14.
Yeah. Well, they keep raising it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm paying 12.
So let's say that they came out tomorrow and said it's going to be $20. I would mumble and groan, but I still want to watch so many things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so that's the only thing I can think of with all this original stuff that they most of don't put out on DVD or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, you want to watch Stranger Things? You want to watch Orange is the New Black or Big Mouth or so many shows now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, they've gotten a lot more credible in years past.
Yeah.
Just with all these hits
their movies definitely are still struggling
with the Adam Sandler stuff and the
Mudbound is pretty legit, but even that, going into award season, I feel like how many people had watched it because it wasn't a theatrical release.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a limited theatrical release because it had to for the rules.
Wasn't Beast of the Southern Wild also a Netflix original?
Yeah
thought so. I think the only thing that I like I said, going back to why I didn't really care for it, I really liked 10 Cloverfield Lane, and I liked how they, say what you want about the ending and making it, shoehorning it into Cloverfield with, like, the last 10 minutes being an alien movie, and the other one being, like, a stuck-in-the-room, like, tension-building scenario. I felt like it still married up fine in my eyes. This one, not so much.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with the marrying up fine because it is too.
It's too
really different. It was clear that it was like, we have a really tight script that's this one thing, and then at the very end we'll drop an alien in so that we can tie it in, and that's fine because it worked and it was nice to expand the Cloverfield universe. But I think it's more difficult when you go, okay, now we're making a Cloverfield movie, and trying from the beginning to do it where it has to be,
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You can't play that card again.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it worked one time. Second time, it's almost exactly the same formula as far as cutting and pasting in, putting in like, here's a Cloverfield name. Here's a monster.
Well, I think that was the point of the husband storyline, is to tie in everything to that main attack.
Yeah.
And then that awesome closing shot.
Yeah, which I both laughed and
I laughed really hard.
But I was all about it, boy.
I don't know why, but I didn't see it coming. But it was looking back on it, it was such an obvious thing that something was going to pop up. But when it happened, I lost it.
It was great.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much open cloud space. It's like, has to be something coming
up. It was so cheesy.
As far as Cloverfield goes, two of the three of us would recommend it. Would you recommend it?
Oh, I would recommend it.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. And Sean won't.
There are other movies that I would rather watch on Netflix, but, I mean, if you are a sci-fi fan and you're invested in the Cloverfield, you know, trilogy, quadrilogy, whatever's coming up, franchise, sure, give it a watch.
Okay.
It's not anything, you're not going to be blown away by sure. it.
But so. Speaking of movies you'd rather watch on Netflix.
Yes.
Hey, here we go.
When we first met. Roy, what's it about?
Oh, man, I am just not good at these. Okay, so Adam Levine or Levine or whatever that dude's name is.
That was Divine.
Divine, yeah.
Divine?
Yeah.
The other one's the guy from Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the main guy
yeah.
basically meets a quote-unquote dream girl at the beginning of the movie that he falls for instantly and gets friend-zoned. And then, you know, long story short, he finds the ability to time travel back to the first day that they met, and he tries to do it again to get out of the friend zone and be with her.
Yep, yep.
That's kind of the...
And it's a like a, almost a Groundhog Day type
kind
thing.
Kind
of,
where
it's
yeah.
a,
he keeps
know,
messing
he tries,
up.
He tries it again and again.
You get alternate timelines of things and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Because once he'll go back and he can relive... that day, you know, that party and everything like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of like when he wakes up,
yeah.
he wakes up at, in the current time.
His yeah. present, when you know, when
which,
he starts.
Which is, her, yeah. which is her about to get married.
Yeah. yeah. And then he has to deal with, okay, what are the consequences of
right.
the yeah. changes I made? And some of them are funny, and some of them are not funny.
Right. So the girl that he's in love with is...
looking at you, cool guy tips. No, thank you.
You went full asshole. Yeah.
But the girl he's in love with is Alexandria Daddario, who we're a big fan of here at Coming Off the Reels.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, there are other characters. He has a best friend. She has a roommate. Mm-hmm. They come in and out of the stories as well.
Robbie Amell, he plays the...
Fiance
of yeah. Daddario. Yep.
So, Sean, since Roy's on his phone, what did you think
of it? Jeez. I loved it. I actually really liked this movie, surprisingly. Drew, I know I texted you about this. I was about 10 minutes into this movie. I'm not going to spoil it.
I'm just saying, there wasn't necessarily rocket science.
No, I know.
You didn't call the end of Fight Club on this one.
No. But still, about 10 minutes in, I texted Drew and I was like, I think I have a feeling what's going to happen. Like, do not confirm or deny, but I think I know where this is going.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Almost immediately. Like, you know, it took me about one scene. I was like, yep, I know exactly what's going to happen in this.
Oh, I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's nice. I liked it.
I'm not saying I didn't like it, but it just I could see what was happening. And I'm like, okay, I'm curious how they're gonna bridge this, and I was happy with how
like
they did
when she sat down and started playing the piano with him. I'm like,
see what's happening.
Let's take a big step back. Yeah, okay. So let's if we can
major
talk
plot
about
points.
Like so they meet at a Halloween party,
yeah.
and when he goes back the first time. You know, I'm trying to remember the things that he did at that point to get out of the friend zone. Because the first time we see it, because the movie starts off at the engagement party.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, it flashes back to, like, what happened that night. Mm-hmm. Like, he's telling the story, like, this is how I got friend zone. And they had a wonderful night and went to a bar. And he flirted with her and played on the piano. And then...
He saved her, or he tried to avert a guy when a Hulk...
Right,
outfit,
right.
Trying
yeah,
to,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you know, I'm trying to think, like...
They went to the jazz bar, they played, they went back to her place.
He eats all the cereal.
They eat the cereal.
And then...
He goes for, like, a kiss goodbye.
And she's
and
just like,
she
it's
just
so good
him.
To have a friend.
Yeah. And it's so good to have a guy friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, I think there's, like, 7 or 8 definitive plot points or, like, definitive moments that have to happen or happen in a certain sequential
I'm trying to remember, in the first incarnation, when he goes back to the future... trademark Back to the Future. Is that the one where he
wears the tux? He goes as James Bond.
Where
he tries to woo her off her feet and like tries to be debonair and everything.
Oh,
like
he
that.
Tries to be a big cool
but,
guy.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what happens in the future.
That's the one where he calls her or Daddario calls him the crazy stalker because he runs into Carrie in the park.
That's right.
And, yeah.
Which actually
so they beat the hell out of him.
Really made me laugh a lot because, like, Daddario's roommate's like beating him with a plant, like a potted plant. And then like when he comes back in the future, he shows up at their engagement party and they immediately recognize him and start beating him with a plant again. So it all works out like that. This is a very almost vignette style movie where it's just like, all right, here's this little 15-minute. Look what happens here, and then reset it, and look what happens here, and then that's how Groundhog Day works as well, where it's just like here's a series of vignettes, and it all comes together to make a story. But I thought it was a lot more pleasant than I was expecting.
Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be dumb.
Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be very dumb, but I actually did find it quite charming.
Yes,
there it is.
Yeah, I did. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
All the characters were good, and
you know what we need? We need a drop that is just a seal clapping, and we'll call it the Charming Seal.
Yeah, I like that.
What?
So whenever we say a movie is charming, we give it the Charming Seal, and we just have a seal clapping.
Oh, like an actual seal.
Are yes, we, like a sound effect. Are we like seal?
Are we a Drive Time radio show?
Yeah, we can come up with. We can come up with something better than that.
Vote online.
Yeah, hit us on Twitter at Off the Reels.
I'm gonna delete that thread.
Oh, why? That was
a seal sound effect.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a charming seal.
Yeah, I'm Wolfman, and this is Barf Boys, and we're your Drive Time. That's what it is. That's what.
You really
wait for that one.
You really did a good job with that. What in your past don't we know?
Right? That I hate Drive Time Radio.
All right.
And sound effects.
All right. This is all dead air right now, so.
I'll trim that down a little. So, I do like, and there are, like, sequences of events where, you know, he's like, oh, his buddy tells him you have to treat a woman like garbage. Yeah. So, we'd see that, and you have to... She wants to be taken care of. So there's one where he becomes a workaholic. And each one of them, like, you know, again, he learns something and grows. And then his final, you know, where he has his epiphany about what has to happen. And that's all. And again, that's kind of like the crux of it. And that's when the shoe drops a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's, at that point, the movie becomes a little bit better than average to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it only, I mean, you know, I think it was around 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. But Netflix movies seem... always to be a little bit low, in my opinion, because again, Cloverfield, I think it was in the low teens, and I was like, you can dislike the movie, that's perfectly fine, but don't put it down there with the Bye Bye Man. No offense, Roy.
I didn't hate it.
It's pulling Geostorm numbers, is what it's doing.
Yeah, right.
So, but
didn't hate that either.
I'm interested to see what Netflix continues to do. I hope their movie game gets to be a little bit stronger. But they seem to be getting talent, like, you know, and I think the biggest thing that they've gotten right now is The Irishman. Is that, does anybody know, is that the correct title? That's the Scorsese film. Where it's De Niro and Pesci and...
I didn't realize that was Netflix.
Yeah. Wow. Netflix, and I think the budget is like well over $100 million.
Jeez. Wow.
And so there's a kind of a gamble on this, you know. Will it be the next Goodfellas, or is it going to be the next 88 minutes? I think that's a Pacino film.
It is.
And I think he's in this in The Irishman as well. Yeah. Like, it is all of, like, the gangster, like, staples as far as who's in it.
Wow. Huh. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Right? But, I mean, you look at his last theatrical film, nobody went and saw Silence.
No, I didn't.
No.
I think it's
it was like 3 hours long. Yeah, though.
I think it's on Hulu now, and I still just.
I know.
You see that runtime, and you're like.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. I can watch like 10 episodes of Full House.
I do feel. I do feel bad about that, as far as, because there are movies that need that runtime. Like, you know, when I watch a movie that's 90 minutes long, I'm like, oh, hey, that's great. It's 90 minutes long, but I also know that it's going to be a When We First Met, which is kind of a cotton candy film.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, but like, you know, if you're telling. Imagine, like, Braveheart cutting out, oh, well, you know, we think you have a good idea here, but if you can make this a tight 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, okay, well, what do you cut? Like, you know, you're telling big stories. They deserve to be big movies. And historically, all these kind of prestige pictures were epic in scale. And I think it's, I feel bad for movies that get pressured to be shorter so that they can have X number of screenings.
So they can make their money.
And oddly, like, for you specifically, I was listening to, I don't, maybe it was How Did This Get Made? where they were talking about Superman 4, and at one point they test screened it, and it screened really well. Like, people really liked Superman 4, so the producers were like, well, let's cut out 40 minutes so that we can show it more in the theaters,
yeah,
since people like it.
Ugh.
And it's like those decisions. Like,
yeah, right.
So, yes, I mean, I agree with everybody. I don't want to watch a movie that's 3 hours and 15 minutes long. But I also like, well, I feel bad that they are kind of being forced out just so that, you know, it's how we can consume things as fast as we can.
Right.
You
know, that's, yeah. Yeah, people's attention spans are a lot shorter these days.
Well, you got, less time in the day, it seems like.
Yeah.
So.
And like, what in silence, and maybe I'm just guilty of that very thing, but like, what in silence is there to, you know, keep my attention?
I've not seen it.
I don't know what it, me neither.
I mean, Adam Driver?
It looked like a lot of talking.
I mean, there are a lot of good actors who I appreciate.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure. Yeah.
Garfield and Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that Adam Driver gets kidnapped and Liam Neeson's like, you know, goes after him.
They're trying to save him.
But then somebody goes after him? Or like, was it Liam Neeson?
I think he and Andrew.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Okay.
I got there.
Liam Neeson gets captured.
Because he has the set of skills.
Right.
Yeah. I get it.
He's yep.
quite taken.
So, anyway.
I'm done. I'm out of here.
I think that's about all we have. Roy, you want to tell people where they can find the show?
Yes, you can find us on our website, Coming Off the Reels. You can find us on Facebook at Coming Off the Reels. Twitter at Off the Reels. Tell us what movies on Netflix you like, or if there's a movie or a show you want us to review, let us know over there. Send us an email, comingoffthereels@gmail.com, and iTunes, Google, Stitcher, really anywhere podcasts are, you can find us. And please share the show, subscribe to us, rate and review, because that's how people find us.
Yeah. So, until next time, my name is Drew Martin.
I'm Sean McClain.
And I'm Roy King.
And this has been Coming Off the Reels.